Well, God bless each and every one of you, and welcome to this evening's service. Those who are joining us by way of electronics, the Lord bless you and make His word rich and a blessing to you. Those who are tuning in, who usually are following through the internet, Pastor Bill is going to be here next week. Him and his wife, his dear wife Faye, are away for a break, and we pray that the Lord will bless them and give that time for them together, a time of nurture and blessing. Dear brother in the Lord, and we love them dearly and miss them when they're not in our midst. So this evening we're going to carry on in the book of Daniel. So we're going to go and we're going to begin tonight at chapter 3. Didn't finish everything in chapter 2 by any means, but that's okay. God's word is rich, and we can glean in his word when even we are at home. But for this evening, turn with me in the scriptures to Daniel, the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to be reading again probably the first 10 verses, and then we're going to work our way through a little bit further as the Lord grants our time. And so if you're able, and only if you're able, could we please stand for the reading of God's holy word? From Daniel chapter 3. And I spoke this morning about looking at a dedication service. And that's kind of what we have here. And so we will begin. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits, and the breadth of it thereof was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. 70 cubits works to about 90 feet tall and about 9 feet wide. That's in English, translated from the cubits. And so Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs were there, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And then the princes and the governors and the captains and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet and the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near, and they accused the Jews. And they spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the sackbut and the psaltery and the dulcimer and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And who falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you've set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Let's pray. Father, this is your word again this evening. And this is your counsel, dear Lord, that at every time and age and hour there may be a gleaning in the pages of your holy word. So we invite the presence of your Spirit here this evening. I ask and pray, dear Lord, that you would tenderly move up and down every aisle, that you'd speak to every heart wherever they find themselves, and that you'd begin in the pulpit in that of my own heart. And we'll promise, O God, to give you all the glory and all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, does that sound familiar? Commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And then they brought these men before the king, stood them there. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods, small g, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" Now, this is the grace that this man is showing. Now, if you're ready at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, that you fall down and worship the image I have made, well. But if you worship not, you should be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image that you have set up." Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. And the form of his visage, like his countenance, was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound, that is, they were tied together in their coats, their apparel, their hosen, their hats, and other garments, and they were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, cause the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace exceeding hot. The flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Should I stop there? How can you? I have to keep going. Sorry. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was, here's a King James word for you, astonied. That means he was astonished. stoning today means other things when you talk about people being stoned. But he was astonished. It held him there. And he rose up in haste and he spoke and he said to his counselors, "Didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of a fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Lord, bless this portion of the word, and we thank you, Lord, for its promises to us. And that, Lord, you have known for your people at times what the fire is. And you have walked with them in the midst of it. And you do not change. And we give you thanks for this, O God. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Well, there's just one last thing regarding the morning message when we were with Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in chapter 2. And God had given a dream to Nebuchadnezzar, a dream that stirred him within the deepest part of who we are. It said his spirit was troubled within him to know the dream. And so as they went there, God in his mercy and in his grace made his glory known even in Babylon. Babylon was a dark place. In fact, the origin of Babylon was that its location was not far from the location of Babel. And at Babel was the place in the Old Testament, right in the very beginning, when man had rebelled against God. And after the time of the flood, man said, "Boy, we're not going to let that happen to us again. We're going to build us a tower that it can reach to heaven, and we're going to make a name for ourselves." And they called the place Babel, because in the midst of that, now there was a building program. And in the midst of that building program, God came down and he confused their language there. So the name Babel, B-A-B-E-L, means confusion. And from that, we get the name Babylon, which is a place of confusion. And so in that place of Babel, that is why the counselors brought the darkest counsel you could imagine to the kings and those who were rulers in that land, those who consulted with familiar spirits, those who were consulting with witchcraft, and every source, if you will, that's root in origin was dark, came from Babel, a name that means confusion. And that stood in the Old Testament for rebellion, a rebelling against God. Now from that place, very quickly, God in his mercy had revealed to Daniel the nature of the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had had. Have you ever forgot a name or circumstance or the name of something and you're talking to someone and right in the midst of it, you go, "You know that that program, you know, years ago was on TV. You know, there was that funny guy," and all of a sudden they'll go, "You mean Hogan's Heroes?" You go, "That's right." And you just feel it because they've caught what would not come to you. Well, when God in his mercy had revealed to Daniel the very dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, immediately he saw and he remembered it. And Daniel rehearsed it because God had revealed it to him from beginning to the very end. And in that setting then, Daniel also brought the interpretation to King Nebuchadnezzar of the direction and the future years of governance as it pertained to Babylon. Oh, Lord, help us in this. This is a lot of material to cover. I pray that you would bless your word. Make it simple, dear Lord, for each one to understand, that we may go home gleaning from what you would have for us this evening. And we'll give you all the praise. Amen. Hard, hard things. And one thing I want to bring before we just carry on, it is this thought that we think, well, God revealed a dream to Daniel. And it does not say that God revealed that dream to Shadrach. It does not say that God revealed the dream to Meshach or Abednego, and they had been praying together. But that God revealed it only and singularly to Daniel, because Daniel was a prophet of the Lord, and that confirmed God's call on Daniel in this sense. And I'd like if to turn, all of us together if we can, to Numbers chapter 12. And it was right in the midst of a family dispute, but we need to ponder this for a second. It's when Miriam and Aaron were murmuring against Moses in the Old Testament, in the camp of Israel. And Numbers chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 4. Numbers chapter 12, verse 4. And the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam. So he dealt with the three together. And he said, come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in the pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Oh my goodness, you can just feel that. You know when you've ever done wrong? I remember the teachers, and you just kind of cringed when they called your name. And there was once I was in trouble, more than once was I in trouble. And a friend of mine, his name was Gerard, and another was Collins and Daryl. And you know, when they said over the intercom at school, Daryl and Colin and Gerard, would you please come to the general office, please? You just felt your name. And the Lord had brought Miriam and Aaron and Moses. And he said, come here to the house of the Lord. And they came there. And then when the three of them were together, the scripture says that the Lord came down and he said, Aaron and Miriam, come here. Okay, let's keep going. And he said to them, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak unto him in a dream. Now, God said this is how he would work among the prophets in the Old Testament, those who were called and anointed by him in that regard. And then he said in verse 7, my servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house, but with him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, that is to see, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now the point of that portion of scripture is that when God revealed to Daniel in a dream the nature and the manner of what he was trying to reveal to Nebuchadnezzar the king, God revealed it to Daniel because Daniel held the office of a prophet. And God confirmed his word to Daniel by revealing that as Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they were prayer warriors, all three of them. And I mean, when Daniel needed to pray, He sought out those three specifically. But it is not that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were prophets. God had called and equipped Daniel as a prophet. And so God revealed those things to Daniel for his honor, for his glory. Now remember, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, it said, God who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. It was God's means of bringing his word to his people was through the prophets in the Old Testament. Hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son. And so that has been the only thing that I'd like to leave with you regarding this morning's message of Daniel and the revelation of the dreams. Daniel was fulfilling the calling that God had placed on him as a prophet. It did not rest on any other. It rested on Daniel. So before we think we can go home and start interpreting dreams and everything, that was God's blueprint for his word spoken in the Old Testament. Leave that there. Dedication service. Have you ever been to the dedication service? Anybody here? I'm not talking children. Dedication of a building, the dedication of sometimes a monument. Anybody here have been to something like that? And that's why I was asking this morning some, when the church was rebuilt, did you have a dedication service? And it was just a point of interest. And I think it was Matthew I was saying that you had, it was a grand opening that you had. Nice thought. And the reason I say that is when we were in a little church called Hyas. Has anyone ever heard of that town? Little tiny town, a wonderful little fellowship. They had to close the doors because of difficulties that they were having there. We had taken some services there through the years. It was a wonderful, wonderful little fellowship. On the front of the church, they had the words, "We would see Jesus." That was Kingman. Something to that effect. So when you went there, you pondered those words. What is the Lord saying to me? Anyway, in the end, they decided that they would close the little congregation. They were having that much difficulty. And so then they said, well, what are we going to do at the church? And then someone said, well, we should sell it maybe. We'll put it up for sale. So they put it up for sale, and they sent to me. They said, what do you think it should do? I said, don't close it. You can't help it. I said, the Lord has plans yet. And then I asked them, I said, did you have a dedication service many, many years ago when that little church first opened its doors? And they said, yeah, we did. We dedicated this building, this ministry to the Lord's work, and we gave it to him and asked his blessing. And I said, then you can't sell it. They said, well, what do you mean? I said, because it's not yours. You gave it to the Lord, and so it's not really yours anymore to sell. And they said, well, and we know, but it's just sitting there. And I said, well, whatever. I mean, you can't tell a congregation what to do. And so what they did is they took all the chairs and they took the furniture and they put it on eBay and Kijiji, and everything sold. All the chairs sold, and they listed the building. And week went after week, and month has gone after month, and now year has gone after year, and nobody is buying that building because it wasn't theirs to sell. God is not mocked. And yes, it's just, there's a term the homeless use for houses today. It's flattering. They call a house sticks and bricks. And yes, a house is nothing more than sticks and bricks. But when the heart of God's people surrender an item and they dedicate it to his service, he never forgets it. That's why when you bring your children and we dedicate them to the Lord's service and we bring them before and we dedicate them, God doesn't say, well, that's good for a few weeks. Then after a while, whatever. No, sir. That is a promise made. And God hears that promise. Anyway, that's all for free. But in the building of this dedication, see, what ended up happening is after King Nebuchadnezzar had had this dream, and God in his mercy, because Daniel was called and ordained as a prophet, God revealed the nature of this dream for the prophet of Nebuchadnezzar, that he might understand that there is in his kingdom a king above kings and a Lord that is above lords. And God was going to reveal this for his glory to Nebuchadnezzar. Now in that, then, Daniel spoke a little bit of what the dream was. And I brought my spiritual tape measure with me tonight for a purpose. And in the dream that Daniel saw, which Nebuchadnezzar had also saw, he saw an image, the scripture says, that was great and it was terrible. And that in that image, there was a head of gold upon that image, and there was meanings to go along with that. And Daniel said, Nebuchadnezzar, you are that head of gold. God has given you the nation of Babylon, and your governance reaches far and wide. And God is revealing to you his plans for what he is going to do, and in the governance of this nation down through the years. After the head of gold, there was the arms and the breastplate of silver. And he said, after that, well, let's go there for just a minute. Interpretation. Chapter 2, starting at 36, even 37. And Daniel is reiterating to the king the interpretation which God gave to Daniel regarding Nebuchadnezzar. Thou, O king, are a king of kings. For the God of heaven has given thee a kingdom and power and strength and glory, and wherever the children of men dwell, and the beasts of the field and the fowls of heaven, hath he given into your hand. God has given it to you. You didn't do this alone. And he hath made you ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And after thee, that is after your demise, you're not eternal, Nebuchadnezzar. It says, after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaks in pieces and subdues all things, and as iron that breaks all these, it shall break in pieces and bruise. And whereas you saw then there were the feet and toes, part of potter's clay, part of iron, the kingdom will be divided, but there shall be in it the strength of iron, for as much as you saw the iron mixed with the clay. And as the toes of the feet were part iron and part clay, so the kingdom will be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas you saw the miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but will not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And Daniel began to give, as God had revealed it to him, a picture to Nebuchadnezzar of that which would occur through the years after Babylon's rule. Now, the scripture doesn't say how long it was. There was two images that Nebuchadnezzar dealt with. One was the image he saw in his dream. And the other was the image that Nebuchadnezzar had built himself. Now, from that, I'm not going to draw any lines of parallel because I don't know what's the significance of the two. God showed Daniel that in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, his kingdom would one day come to an end and there would be others that would usurp the throne, even other kingdoms that would defeat Babylon. And so it doesn't say how long after, but one day Nebuchadnezzar woke up and he went, I got it. I'm gonna build me an image. Now, I came here this evening and I measured from the floor here, from the top of the platform to the tip of the roof, and it measures 15 feet. Exactly. Some good carpenters here. And I brought my spiritual tape measure. And if the image that Nebuchadnezzar built was 90 cubits high by 9 cubits wide. So I measured this, and from the ground to the peak of your sanctuary, it's 15 feet exactly. So 1/10 of 15 feet is 1.5 feet. So if in proportion, 1.5 feet, 12, 18 inches. So if in scale that image, and I talked about images in the church this morning, and we're not doing that. This is just a comparison of size. That if we went to the peak with this building project, it would have been 15 feet high and about 1.5 feet wide in proximity here. So if you'd see it far off, it was 90 feet high and it was only 9 feet wide. So it would have been a very tall, narrow structure, whatever you call it. And in that structure then, we're not told how long following his dream that Nebuchadnezzar built this image, but he decided that he was going to build something, and he built it in the plain of Dura. That's in verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold and he set it up in the plain of Dura. Well, for comparison, that's something like Regina, Saskatchewan. It's the plain of Saskatchewan. I can say that because we've lived there for 10 years. So I'm not prejudiced anymore. By the way, if you're in Regina, you can see, anyone here been to Regina? You can see a long way in Regina. But lest Albertans think there are no trees in Saskatchewan, if you go simply an hour north of the town of Yorkton, which in proximity would be the same latitude as Stettler, Alberta, if you go an hour north of that, it's solid bush all the way north. So before you say, you know, there's not a single tree in Saskatchewan, let me tell you otherwise. There's lots of trees in Saskatchewan. But Nebuchadnezzar set his image up 90 feet tall in the plain of Dura. So there was absolutely nothing in the way in terms of restricting what you would see for miles as a stick standing up. Does not say if that image that he built bore itself as well a head and shoulders and thighs and legs. Doesn't tell us anything about that. All it says is that he built an image and they're going to have a dedication service. Oh boy. And so this is what he is. Doesn't tell us what it looked like. But it does tell us something about the image, and that is from its very peak to its very bottom, it was completely made of gold. Doesn't say if it was solid gold or gold-plated, and they had that technology in those days. but that from its very top to its very bottom, it was made of gold. And to celebrate its completion, they called everybody to come and they're going to have a dedication service. And dedicate it to the king or dedicate it to the nation, I'm not sure. And you know, that's not so far out. Has anybody here ever been to France? In Europe, France. Did you see the Arc de Triomphe when you were in France? It's in Paris. It's a very large structure. It's square. It doesn't house anything but itself. And it's called Arc de Triomphe. And people drive right around it. It's in the very center of France. It's in within eyesight. I've never been to France, just pictures. It's within eyesight of the Eiffel Tower. But the Arc de Triomphe was a commemorative edifice, image, well, building, that was dedicated to the Napoleon years of battle and victory in France. And so that's the reason it stands. The Arc de Triomphe today, if you went to France, you can go see it, walk through it, and it's a commemorative building for the glory and the honor of France. In fact, when Hitler in World War II overtook France, his armies marched up to the Arc of Triumph right there, and by his command, they went around the Arc, which is a great big building, and they kept going on the... They could have went through it to show domination, but they never did, because Hitler was a student of Napoleon, and he respected him as a military council. See, we've put things up that stand for things, and we dedicate them. Anybody here ever been to New York? What is in New York? There is a bay, and there is a lady there. It's a Statue of Liberty, and it stands high, and she holds the torch high. It's not a her, it's a thing. It's an image that was built and given from France to United States as a symbol. It was a commemoration, and it was dedicated to a free United States of America. Now, they're going to have a dedication service here. Now, from that place then, let's see what happens. Nebuchadnezzar in verse 2 sent to gather together. Invitations went out all over. And he gathered the princes together and the governors and the captains and the judges and the treasurers and the counselors and the sheriffs. The police was there. And you say, well, I'm not sure that's what it... Well, I looked up the word sheriff, and it meant lawyers or people of the law. So some of your translations will render sheriff as lawyers. And what are sheriffs but people who uphold the law? So the sheriffs were there, whether they had briefcases or guns, I'm not sure. And anyways, from that place, all the rulers of the provinces were there. All of the rulers of the provinces. There were three men that were there who were provincial rulers. And they were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you say, well, how do you know that? Well, it tells us in the last verse of chapter 2, after Daniel had revealed the interpretation to the king, the scripture says, Daniel then requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. So they were premiers, if you will, or heads of the province of that nation of Babylon. So they were expected to be there. This was a thing of note. Now from that place then, the scripture says there was music. There was going to be an orchestra. I'm not going to go through all of the instruments that were there, but there was all kinds. The royal caravan was there, which meant the king himself and all of the royal people and dignitaries with them. The rulers of the provinces were there. And suddenly, out of nowhere, a herald cries out and he says, to you it is commanded, O peoples and nations. Well, let's just take it right from him. It is commanded, people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of all of the band, I won't read it all, whoever does not fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Wow! That wasn't in the bulletin. Did you read that in the bulletin? I didn't read that in the bulletin. It's a dedication service. Did you see that in the paper? I didn't see anything about that in the paper. It was going to be a dedication service. And all of a sudden, were you online? Yeah, I was online. Did you see anything about worship? And just when there's a real awkwardness there and a confrontation of conscience, you're there to honor the nation, honor the king, and out of nowhere, they say, get on your knees and worship this idol. That wasn't part of what we came for. And so is the battle, child of God, that at the very time when it doesn't seem it was planned, we were least expecting it, suddenly there comes from, here's a military term, from the left flank, on the side, where you were not ready to defend, comes an ultimatum. And to bring it home, there's a little encouragement. And he says, whoever does not fall down and worship shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Well, where'd they get a furnace in the middle of the plain of Dura from? Was it a portable one that they just brought in? I did a little bit research on the smelting of gold. When gold is refined and it's put in a smelter to smelt it. And because the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made was in the plain of Dura, in order to construct it there, they would have had to have a furnace and the tools to do that work. Anyone here know what temperature gold melts at? Does anyone have a rough idea or want to take a guess? It's okay. We can guess. I'm not going to say you're wrong. Some are discussing it. Scientists are. Absolutely. In fact, the variance of gold will become molten depending on how pure it is. So 10-carat gold will become molten at about 1,000 degrees. But 24-carat gold needs about 1,200 degrees to become molten so they can work with it. And so when they brought the threat to three young Jewish men that were standing in the midst who would not bow, because you know what? They were the three men that had prayed for Nebuchadnezzar that God would help him in his hour. Now they stood before him. And the king commanded that furnace to be heated past gold molten, past that temperature, to the tune of how many times? Do you remember? It was seven times. Now, I'll just leave that with you. 1,000 degrees times 7 is hot. That's just the nature of it. And we find that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not careful in the matter. And they said to the king, we are not careful, O king, to answer you in this matter. And the testimony of faith comes from these three young men who have known difficulty, who have known exile, who understand what captivity means, who understand because the fire is right there, they understand what death means. They're not past that. Anyway, in the very end, they say to the king, "We cannot bow before an image that you have made, because we know that there is only one God, the Lord Almighty, and he has commanded us to worship him and him alone. So before any image, we cannot bow. He will deliver us. But if he doesn't, we are ready for that furnace." And so the scripture says, again in a rage, Nebuchadnezzar's always in a rage. You think a guy that had so much power and so much wealth around him would be happy, and he's miserable. He's always wanting to cut people in pieces. So he takes them and throws them. The intensity of the flame is so hot that the guards are burned and die in the presence of that flame. And the king looks in the fire. And he looks and he sees and he says to all his counselors, "Hey," he said, "didn't we put three into that flame?" And they said, "True, O king." Then he says, "How is it that I'm looking in there and I see four men? And they're loose. Their ropes are gone. They're free. And they're walking all around in there." And he said, "And the fourth is like unto the Son of God." Who told him what he looked like? God revealed his nature to his people. So often, brethren, we pray that God will take us out of the fire, that we don't have to go in there, and we do not realize that it's only when you're in the fire that God will manifest his presence and his power to deliver you from the flames. That's his mercy, that God will never leave his children. That is his promise, and you can stand on it because it's good for us today. Oh, Lord, there's so much more we could share, and the night is far spent. And I thank you for your goodness and for the grace of this people, Lord, that have tarried so long with me. Bless them because of it. And Lord, as we think of all the battles that face us, at the most unexpected places, when it comes, the fiery darts out of the blue, give us grace in that hour, Lord, that we might hold up that shield of faith as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, whereby the scripture says we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Lord, I thank you that our refuge is found in the cross, and the cross's footing is sure, it'll never move. And so we thank you that the work of redemption, Lord, is concluded in all those who have received you by grace through faith. And so, Lord, bless your children this week. Bless your word, dear Lord. Let it accomplish that for which you have intended. And we'll promise to give you all the glory and the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' mighty and holy name. Amen.